Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. Here I am on Woodens Way in Oxford, and this video is a posthumous tribute to Dr. Mike Wooden, and this street is named in his honour. Sometime principal co-speaker of the Green Party of England and Wales. So it's almost 19 years, well, it's more than 19 years actually, since Mike Wooden was called to his reward. So he's born in Manchester into a British Jewish family. He first of all went to University of Manchester studying psychology. He later came to Oxford, and there he did a doctorate in psychology. So then he became a Don. He was a fellow of Balliol, and you can see this behind here. And he wasn't at all haughty, he was very approachable. He was a really respected scholar with a number of well peer-reviewed published articles. I don't know which books he had to his name. I'm not really speaking about him as a psychologist, him as an individual. They didn't know him terribly well, and indeed as a politician. So he signed up to what seemed to be a hopeless cause in the 1980s. It was then called the Ecology Party. It rapidly renamed itself the Green Party. And people had only the remotest understanding of the importance of the environment and the way that industrialization was damaging it. We still had leaded petrol in cars. The rainforest has been cut down. In the late 80s, people were becoming aware of the hole in the ozone layer, of what CFCs did and things like that. And we just more and more people were getting petroleum and diesel cars, and we were enriching ourselves. And people gave nary a thought to the environment, to making things in plastic and throwing them out, and to the degradation of it, to the destruction of the habitats of various wildlife species, and so forth. So the Ecology Party came from nowhere, the Green Party, they call themselves, and in 1989 they managed to get quite a percentage of the European elections in the United Kingdom. But back then it was on a constituency basis, first past the post, no proportional representation. So despite getting over 10% of the vote, a real breakthrough for them, they got no seats whatsoever, inefficiently distributed. Anyway, so he was a Don here teaching in the 90s, and then he was elected to Oxford City Council, one of the first Greens in the United Kingdom elected. So there are roughly 50 councillors on Oxford City Council, and they had four Greens at one stage. So he's one of the first Green councillors elected in the United Kingdom, not the very first. Germany had a significant Green Party. The Republic of Ireland, we've had a Green Party with representation in the Oireachtas for almost 40 years. And various other countries, various Scandinavian countries of France and so forth, the Green Party has got a significant presence. But he managed to make the weather, I suppose, even though in his lifetime they didn't even get a single MP. Because the other parties are forced to sit up and take notice. Labour, the Liberal Democrats, even the Conservatives, even today are committed to net zero. They're just trying to push back the deadline for transition to net zero. So he put things on the agenda that would not otherwise have been there. And the Green Party insisted on having two principal co-speakers. They wouldn't have a single leader, and they would always have one man, one woman, for the sake of gender equality. And they got councillors all over the United Kingdom, but you know, often just in ones and twos in each borough council. But they did very well in urban areas. They do very poorly in the countryside. Partly says to be younger people in the countryside, people more reliant on public transport. Getting rid of cars is really not a viable option if you live deep in the countryside. I lived in a village once, we had two buses a day, and so without a car you're stranded really. Anyway, Mike Wooden, he was married, he had three children if I remember, and he was an active member of the Oxford Jewish congregation on Richmond Road. Saw him going to the synagogue there once. And he canvassed me one time, lovely chap, and he stayed for an hour to chat. Not a very efficient use of his party's time. I felt faintly guilty about that, but I simply had to waste his time for electoral reasons. And he did admit he's occasionally taken taxis, but he's never owned a car, because that'd be bad for the environment. And then unfortunately, at the age of about 36, he was diagnosed with this terminal lung cancer, despite having been a lifelong non-smoker. So that was a terrible blow for his wife, for his family, and for the Green Party in general. But nonetheless, in May 2004, he stood for election to the European Parliament with Dr. Caroline Lucas, who was a Green, and she was already sitting in the European Parliament. I remember bumping into him on Corn Market here in Oxford and speaking of that day and about defence expenditure. He said he'd have the lowest level of defence expenditure that was consistent with national security. This is the time shortly after the liberation of Iraq, a liberation with which he vehemently disagreed. And he was visibly ill at that time, wan and sunken, pallid and all the rest of it, losing his hair. And unfortunately, he was called to his reward only 2 months later. So he requested a car-free funeral. So his coffin was towed by bikes, and it was a cardboard coffin. So it's going to be biodegradable very quickly. And he's laid to rest in Wolvercote Cemetery, if memory serves, along with many other very distinguished people like HLA Hart, various dons, Lawrence of Arabia's father, I can't think of who else, various erstwhile colonial governors, you know, civil servants, the great and the good. So I must go up and film some of those graves sometime. So there he is, nourishing the soil. But that is Mike Wooden, and that's a lasting tribute to him. And the Greens have had a presence almost constantly on Oxford City Council for about 30 years, and that is thanks to him in no small measure. Dr. Mike Wooden, a thoroughly decent person who was in politics for the right reason, who was devoid of all vanity, who was actuated by actually serving the public, by saving the planet, by you know, making life better for ordinary people and not just for himself. Not a particularly wealthy man, who was uninterested in baubles and titles and things like that. He was there for the sake of humanity. So he was trying to serve the local community, and he had the slogan, think global, act local. He was pleased no end when I repeated it back to him. So using sustainable forests, recycling things wherever possible, reducing carbon emissions, having long life light bulbs, all this kind of thing. He trailblazed. Okay, it's not him alone, but he has a significant share in all this, and he has put it on the political agenda, and it's thanks to him that the planet can be saved. I mean, it's not only him, but he made an outsized contribution to this very worthy cause. And it's an awful pity that the world was deprived of him relatively young in life. I mean, I don't know a single person who had a bad word to say about him. And I know politics can be a real snake pit. There are a lot of vicious people, there are a lot of smears, but I mean, even his deadliest enemy, did he have any enemies? They never badmouthed him. So it's very easy to get along with, approachable, pleasant, courteous, reasonable, restrained, perhaps too restrained, some people thought. And the fact we've got these cycle lanes is partly because of the Green Party. Park and ride. So you park your car out of town and you take the bus into town, trying to have the one-way system in Oxford, making Cornmarket a pedestrian street, used to be able to drive up it in the early 90s and things like that. And that's why Oxford is one of the most cycle-friendly cities in the United Kingdom, Cambridge likewise. So undergraduates were particularly attracted to him. They did very well in that sort of central ward where the university is based. And it's partly a vote of confidence in him. So he's an active politician whilst he's an academic as well. He's no ivory tower intellectual, just theorising idly. So for him, politics obviously was something tangible. It wasn't something theoretical that existed solely in books. So you can see the effects around you, as I say, of that. So more public transport, taxing cars off the road where they're unnecessary, certainly in city centres, who really felt there was no excuse for them. And I heartily concur. Now, ULEZ and things like that. Right, thank you so much for watching. Please subscribe to my channel and donate on PayPal. Goodbye.